Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father, from our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. Amen. You may be seated. What comes to mind when you hear the word testimony? The most common answer for us would be that of a trial or courtroom setting. Your testimony is your statement of what you have seen, what you have heard. In many Christian circles, however, testimony has taken on quite a different meaning. Some Christian churches emphasize each individual's testimony. That would be their story of coming to faith in Christ. This has never been a common practice in conservative Lutheran churches such as ours, perhaps because many such stories would be kind of boring, uneventful. Well, let's see, I was born, and then not long after, I was baptized. That's when and how I became a Christian. That's about it. What these other testimonies do is draw attention to the individual telling the story and not so much to who Christ is and what he has come to do. Even more so does this occur when more charismatic churches and entities call for their people to testify. Perhaps you've heard that. Inspiring impromptu statements of Christian-sounding teachings and beliefs. Now, this would be the better and more theological reason as to why our churches do not participate in such practices. But none of this, however, is what John the Baptizer does in John chapter 1. Last week's gospel text celebrated the baptism of our Lord. And today's gospel text follows after that moment, that baptism of Jesus by John in the Jordan, though that event specifically not recorded by the Apostle John himself. But a delegation from Jerusalem had been sent to investigate and interrogate John. The gospel tells us that John's location for his baptizing was across the Jordan in another town called Bethany. And so out there in that riverside wilderness, removed from the metropolis of Jerusalem, John there made his confession that he was not the Christ. He states that his purpose for baptizing is preparation for something greater, for someone greater. John had most recently met and interacted with this greater one, the Lord Jesus Christ. And now his pointing to Jesus, pointing him out to his own followers as the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, that is now his primary message. John then gives his testimony concerning Jesus. This is he, of whom I said, after me comes a man who ranks before me, because he was before me. Now John goes on to admit that he did not know Jesus apart from God's own revelation. He most certainly did not know him, yet as the Christ, as the Messiah of God. But for this purpose I came baptizing with water that he might be revealed to Israel. Now that is a major revelation for us, a major epiphany. John's very purpose, being sent out into the wilderness to baptize, to teach, and to call to repentance, was to epiphany Jesus to all Israel. And so John was there, doing his work, baptizing in the wilderness, preaching repentance for the forgiveness of sins, calling people to task, fulfilling the very prophecy of that one who was to come before the Christ himself. The long-awaited one. Now this public prophet was revealing Jesus to the people of Israel, God's chosen one, finally, who had come. And John bore witness. I saw the Spirit descend from heaven like a dove, and it remained on him. I myself did not know him, but he who sent me to baptize with water said to me, he on whom you see the Spirit descend and remain, this is he who baptizes with the Spirit of God. That I have seen, and I have borne witness that this is the Son of God. Now John stands out for all to see and all to hear his testimony. He saw firsthand the Spirit of God descend upon God's own Son, on Jesus himself, and thus remain on him. This was no figment of an imagination. This was the real deal. Jesus was confirmed as that anointed one of God. The Lord Jesus had indeed been revealed to John directly. And just as the shepherds would know the Christ as Lord by his location in a manger, being wrapped in swaddling cloths, so John would know the Christ as well by the descension of the Spirit of God upon him. And the Apostle John, the writer of the Gospel, makes it abundantly clear just how serious the baptizer takes his role as the called prophet of God before the coming of the Christ. He states that the baptizer bore witness. The Greek term is martyreo, from which we get the word martyr, one who is willing to die for the faith, for the truth. It's not that John went into a courtroom and announced to the judge the identity of the Christ in some official capacity, but rather John was doing his testifying in a greater courtroom, that of this entire world. All would then be in a position of judge to hear John's testimony and determine its validity. Is it true or not? Does John the Baptizer truly believe in Jesus as the Christ, the Messiah? He certainly declares as much. And the Baptizer concludes his words by saying, I have seen and borne witness, this is the Son of God. John was willing to risk it all on Jesus as the Christ. John wonderfully did that work of pointing others to Jesus. He announced Jesus as the Lamb of God and thus lost many of his own followers to the Messiah. But John knew that this was good, and this was truly right, as John must decrease and Jesus must increase. In other words, John's job as the forerunner of the Christ had come to its end, and now he could confidently hand over the ministry of the word of repentance and forgiveness and let Jesus take it over. But even after such a dramatic moment, following Jesus' own baptism, John would be prone to doubt Jesus' own identity. John boisterously proclaimed the law of God, often bringing him into the crosshairs, proclaiming the stinging condemnation against those who were sinful. And when John did set his sights even on the public figure of King Herod, son of the great King Herod, he had gone too far in a worldly sense. Finding himself then incarcerated, locked up, rotting away in prison, he could not resist the temptation to doubt who Jesus was. He had borne witness of Jesus' true identity as the Son of God. He saw the Spirit of God descend on Jesus like a dove, remain on him, confirming him to be the Christ. That event alone should have been enough for the perfect faith, never to falter, never to fail. And yet, just like Mary and Joseph before him, who bore witness to all that occurred with the Lord Jesus' birth into this world, they could not understand what Jesus was talking about when he said he must be about his Father's business. So John also succumbed to doubt about Jesus. Are you truly the Christ, or should we look for another? God's plan of hiding his glory in the flesh of man was working perfectly. No one would be allowed to figure out God's incarnate identity by their own power, nor cling to that identity by their own power. It could only be revealed and thus sustained by God through his holy word. Only those with faith in Jesus can see his true glory. That is what Jesus quoted in answer to John. He quoted the scriptures. Now, before we too can be harsh on the baptizer for his doubts of Jesus after all he had seen, or even the disciples of the Lord, their constant missteps and false beliefs about Jesus, we must examine ourselves. We live in the time after the coming of Jesus. He has already been here and done all that is necessary for our forgiveness and our eternal life. The cross of Christ and his empty tomb stares us in the face. Jesus instituted baptism and the Lord's Supper for his people to receive his grace over and over again in that supper, strengthening their faith to life everlasting. But worse than Peter, who feared the wind and the waves with Jesus standing right in front of him, you and I, we doubt God's promises that he is with us through all things, no matter what. We doubt that he has truly overcome the world. You and I, we continue on in this broken world of sin. And we will never attain to the kind of faith and living that God demands of us here in this earthly life. This should keep you and me in our proper place of humility. It is God alone who justifies through Jesus' holy blood. It is Christ alone who reaches down to save you from death and destruction and doubt and sin. None of this is your own doing, but fully the gift of God. John the Baptizer bore witness to the Christ, to Jesus, the Son of God, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. The Apostle John likely wrote his gospel in a time when the beliefs about Jesus' two natures as one Christ were rampant, going all astray, turning many apart from Christ. His first words there in his first chapter are powerful to declare the identity of Jesus as true God and as true man. He is the only one appointed for us by God for our salvation, for the salvation of all Jews and Gentiles alike. Jesus is the God-man who goes to the cross bearing all sin in his own body. His crucifixion, his death, secure the forgiveness of all sins, as Jesus is truly that Lamb of God whose blood sets us free. This is John's testimony, and this remains the church's testimony, for it is our Lord's own testimony, and it is certain. It is true because it is from God himself, Jesus Christ, true God and true man. He is God's Lamb for you, for your salvation, your forgiveness, and your eternal life. And that is God's testimony to you, his chosen and beloved ones. Amen. The peace that passes all of our human understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, now and unto life everlasting. Amen.